This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. For 30 years, Mark Viviano has been a trusted voice in sports broadcasting in Baltimore. First at WBAL-TV and then at WJZ-TV, Viviano has covered everything from the Orioles and Ravens to high school sports, earning the respect and admiration of countless viewers. Recently, the five-time winner of Maryland Sportscaster of the Year made the decision to step away from the camera to focus on family, community service, and his Catholic faith. He officially retired as sports director of WJZ last month after 22 years at the station. The parishioner of St. John in Severna Park, who has served as a Catholic Review columnist and blogger since October, joins us today to talk about his career and his decision to leave it behind. Mark, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you, George. It's an honor to be with you.
You've been in sports broadcasting for 40 years, and we mentioned your time in Baltimore, but you've also served in other markets, and you've reported for CNN. You had what many would consider to be a dream job. Why did you walk away from it?
It was time, and the majority of my career, I was a single man. My wife and I have been married for 10 years, and my oldest son is 8. And in the time of him growing up and then his younger brother, Christian, growing up as well, who is 6, I really felt the pull from away from work to be home more with them. And really what transpires in the schedule that I worked in broadcasting, you know, I could walk the boys to school in the morning. And oftentimes that's the last time I would see them for the day, as I would leave for work in the early afternoon and not be home till past midnight. And my wife, Megan, who is just wonderful and just does it without complaint, she did all of the duties needed for two parents by herself. And it really pulled at me from the job. And I, you know, just really felt like to be the father I want to be and need to be and have been called to be, I should not be, you know, in an Orioles press box when my son gets his first hit in Little League. I should be there at dinner time. I should be there at their activities and practices. I should be there at bath and bedtime. And the schedule did not allow for it, but the call to be there did pull me away from the work and toward what is much more important. And I'm blessed and grateful for the years I was able to be a broadcaster, but there was no doubt in my mind of what I needed and should have done. And I did it. I retired and now I can devote myself to my family and my community.
Was there a particular moment when you said to yourself, I just can't do this anymore? Or was it more kind of a gradual buildup?
Yeah, it was a gradual buildup, and I did reference the time that my son got his first hit in Little League, and I was in an Orioles press box. My wife she was there at the field with him, and she sent video, and I'm getting this video thinking, why am I not there, you know? And I knew why I wasn't there, and all parents make sacrifices for their families, but it really led me to further question how many more of these moments I was willing to miss. How many more of these nights not having dinner with my family or putting my children to sleep at night, how many of those were I willing to miss? That really is what it came down to. So there were a few touchstone moments, but ultimately it was a buildup of knowing that my schedule was not allowing me to be the father and the husband that I've been called to be.
What has been the reaction from the community and from your family?
Well, two different. My I my children and my wife have been fully supportive, and just that has just been great early in the process of being with them more. The community reaction has been humbling, George. The people are just have just been so kind in sharing their thoughts about the many years I was the person they turned to for sports on television or on the radio. And that's humbling. It really is. I mean, I love the work. I enjoyed the work. It was something I wanted to do, you know, most of my adult life. It was really what I strived to do. And to have the reaction from those who just really took it in, enjoyed it, appreciated it, and were sorry that I would not be doing it, it's just humbling. It's a real grace to have that. And I just try to share with everyone who just my gratitude to them for entrusting me to be that person that they turn to for such a thing, and for just basically enabling my career for as long as I had, because, you know, I do it for you know, it's a job that I enjoy, but I do it for someone and for those many people to be so just effusive in their thanks and praise for my work is, like I said, it's humbling. It's beyond anything I could have expected or wanted.
What advice would you have for other parents who might be struggling with similar work-life balance issues, particularly when it comes to prioritizing family?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do not look beyond the true blessing that I was in a position where I could leave my work. I did not get married until I was 49. I didn't become a father till I was 51. So I'm, you know, classically what one would call an older dad. Much of my young single life was devoted to work. And again, that put me in a position to where I could, you know, live a life where I saved most of my earnings. And now I'm in a position where I don't have to work. That's a blessing. Not everyone is in that position. I totally understand that. But there are ways within each day that you can find and sacrifice, if you will, to be with your family as much as possible. And hopefully you have a job that allows you some more leeway. Like I recall a time before I was devoted to the track of retirement where my young son said he just wanted me to kick the soccer ball with him. And here I was, my work was awaiting me, and the car was packed, and I was walking to the car, and I could see in his face that he would be deeply disappointed that I would just leave him without playing soccer with him. And it struck me that I could play soccer for 5 minutes, and that'll make that boy happy, and that'll be meaningful to both him and me if I just get out of the car and do that. And I did, and he was happy, and I felt like, well, that's 5 minutes that I might be late, but you know what? It's worth it. Mm-hmm. And I was not stressed, or I didn't feel guilty about it. I felt like, yeah, that was the right thing to do. And sometimes there are moments like that that you have to find. Just give your children, especially, just a little bit, because it'll mean a lot to them. And I'll always remember that example. And that's why I shared. It was like, that was 5 minutes. And that boy was so happy that his dad played soccer for 5 minutes while his dad was stressed out about going to work. But it all worked out. Mm-hmm. So I'll just share that as one example of the little things you can do that could mean a lot.
What initially drew you to sports journalism? You're originally from St. Louis, and how did you get interested in the field?
Well, like a lot of young boys, George, I thought I would be a professional athlete. You know, dreams of playing for the St. Louis Cardinals or playing in the NBA, baseball and basketball were my favorite sports to play, for sure. And I always had an attraction to sports casting and sports casters. And this is back in the day when I, you know, we had transistor radios, and I still listened to baseball games all the time. And I just was really drawn to the art of describing a game. I just really thought that was cool. So as I got older and it became clear to me that I did not possess the athletic skills to be a professional athlete, that an avenue to be close to those athletics and something that I truly had a passion for, that broadcasting was a real job. You know, it wasn't like this mysterious thing. And I'm lucky that at age 17, I was fully devoted to the idea that I could do that. And while most of my friends at school were saying they were going to go to college to go to business school or to become lawyers and doctors and stuff, I just said, no, what do I really want to do? I want to be a sportscaster. So, and I'm not a real outgoing person by any stretch, and I'm not an overly confident person, but that's something, and I've shared the story before. My mother wanted me to be a dentist. Like, that was her dream. I did well in school, and she was like, I really think you'd be a great dentist. And I remember the day when I was 17, and I had to tell her that, Mom, what I really want to do is be a sportscaster. And I was afraid to disappoint her. But, and I share this story with parents, my mother, I'll never forget the day, she looked at me and she said, you want to be a sportscaster? You're going to be great at that. And I honestly, for the rest of my life, remember that affirmation.
Wow.
And it drove me. It drove me to really, yeah, if Mom thinks I'm going to be good at this, I'm going to be good at this. And my mother passed away before I even got to college. She had suffered from an illness, and she never got to see me fulfill that that dream of being a sportscaster. But I can assure you, she was with me every day. That affirmation was with me every day. I thought of that. Mm. And so it was born of a desire to stay close to sports and finding a way that allowed me to do it without, you know, being a great athlete, and driven by that passion. And then that affirmation from my mom in particular, who told me I'd be good at it. So that's what kind of led to 40 years of doing it, George.
And it stayed with you all your life.
For sure. And that's a reminder to parents. You know, I'm not saying, you know, always tell your child they'll be good at something, but if you believe it and they sense that belief, it can carry them. And I say that only from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. Every day I thought of that. Every day I carried that. And every day that helped carry me to become the professional that I was, because I really felt like, yeah, Mom, I am going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I always carried those words with me.
Well, our guest today is Mark Viviano. He's the recently retired sports director of WJZ-TV. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Today we're talking with Mark Viviano, the longtime sports director of WJZ-TV, who recently retired to devote more time to family and faith. Mark, when you first came to Baltimore, you kind of came in with a huge story when you broke the news of the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore. And you were way ahead of the competition on that story. In fact, I remember watching one of your competitors at that time, and he had referred to any reports about the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore as sort of like whistling past the graveyard. How did you get that story, and how did you report on that story?
Well, I was doing a fill-in radio show on WBAL radio, and the producer of the show, during a commercial, said, "There's someone who's called in that doesn't want to go on the air to speak with you, but they want to speak with you off the air." I said, "Okay." And this person described themselves as a local businessman who had information about an NFL team moving to Baltimore. He went on to say that he had watched me come into town and liked my style and just wanted to do me the favor of letting me know about something. I ended up meeting this person and getting more detail about what he knew about the move of the Cleveland Browns to Baltimore. And through other sources, we were able to confirm that this was indeed a story. It was quite real. It led to a number of sleepless nights, because when you put yourself out there with information like this and no one else has it, you are bound to have detractors. And that included the mayor of Cleveland himself, who I was on a radio show with a Cleveland radio station, and the mayor happened to be there. And it was sort of an ambush where he was there on the show, not to my knowledge, but then he pops on and just basically tries to refute everything I'm reporting. And so when you're dealing with things at that level, and as you noted, I was pretty new to Baltimore at the time, it was quite a whirlwind. It was frightening at times, but we had to stand firm on what we knew to be true, yet also knowing at the same time it could all fall apart and it would look like you were wrong. But deals aren't done until they're done. You know, they can be in the works. You could be right in reporting that something is in the works, and if it falls apart, it falls apart. Well, it was then Baltimore Mayor Kurt Schmoke, who was our final confirmation that indeed this move was going to be made official at a press conference. I think it was like November the 5th, 1995. It was at a time, George, when there was no social media. And now, if you have a story of that nature, the minute you report the first bits of it, you don't own it anymore. It is out everywhere, and it is not, you don't, it just becomes part of social media. In this case, no one else had the information. And so we were sort of the sole proprietors of this story. And it marks a certain time when that was still possible. And it was harrowing, it was exciting, and in the end it was fulfilling, because we were right, and Baltimore is nearing 30 years of its new professional franchise, and that was quite a thing to be a part of, for sure.
That was probably the biggest story of your career, but are there other highlights of your time in Baltimore? I mean, not necessarily big stories or covering a high school game or anything like that that stands out for you?
Yeah, to be honest with you, the stories of the so-called unsung heroes, the regular people, those are my favorite. They really are. One of the last stories I did as a reporter, and I think it was fitting that it was one of the last that I did, was there's a group called Back on My Feet, which is a group of local volunteers who run with different groups just as a form of motivation and support. And the Helping Up mission in Baltimore City is a group that I've become close to. It is a rehabilitative program to help men and women who have been addicted to drugs or homeless, and in many cases, both. And so this group meets three times a week at 5:30 in the morning, and they run. And I focused on one of the men, Tommy Bates, who has been battling addiction for 20 years. And he talked about how running brings him closer to God and just clears his mind and helps him in his rehabilitation and fight against addiction. And those are the type of stories that just the people stories that truly resonate. And I'm most proud, in fact, to offer up their stories for others to see, hear, and be inspired by. Those are the type of stories that matter the most. We can all, you know, do the stories about Lamar Jackson and Gunnar Henderson, and those are marvelous people and great stories too. But the everyday people who we can all identify with, and especially those who are, you know, fighting through different struggles. There was a boy that I did a story on, 8 years old, fighting cancer, but wanted to play Little League Baseball and showed up every week for his games in his wheelchair. Clyde Hicks, and I have an 8 year old son. And the reaction I get from those stories is greater than any of the stories that I was able to do. So when you ask about, the news stories like the Cleveland Browns moving to Baltimore, huge, no question, significant. But the everyday type of people whose stories are so uplifting, inspiring, and remarkable, those are my favorite ones to share, because it really shines a light on just how wonderful some people are who otherwise you would not know, but for a chance meeting that allowed me to share their stories.
Before you publicly announced your retirement, you reached out to us at the Catholic Review and shared that you had sort of a reawakening of your Catholic faith. You've always been a committed Catholic, but you shared that you wanted to do more in your Catholic faith, and you began writing for us. What sparked that reawakening, and how do you plan to use your column at the Catholic Review?
What sparked it, I think, was a growing sense that, and a growing understanding that we are all called to be disciples and to share the word. And in the job that I have had or had for 40 years, yes, I have a microphone, but no, it is not one that generally is a place where you share your faith. There are ways in which you can just be a good person and be a good example. But to specifically share stories or inspiration or just the word, that's just not the place for it. I understand that. I had a conversation with John Harbaugh, who will open press conferences after a football game with scripture. And I told him, I said, John, that's amazing that you're able to do that. I wish I could do that. He said, no, you can't. I can. And I said, do you ever get pushback on that? He said, never. I don't. No one's complained to me publicly or to my face about that. And I admire that. And I told John upon my retirement, I said, you inspired me, because I want to be able to openly share my faith without the hindrance of the job that I do, which I appreciate and respect the job that I do. And I don't want to go against, you know, what are the expected norms and standards. The reason I reached out was, well, I am Catholic, and it is important to me. And if there's an opportunity for me to inspire others to just share personal experience that might help someone, give insight, any of those things, I want to be able to do that. In fact, I think I'm called to do that. I think we're all called to do that in some way, whether it's the platform of a column or a podcast as you do, but just in our daily lives, just how we interact and what we say to one another and what we share with each other. The columns that I do write is really to share personal experiences. And because I'm not ordained. I'm not a theologian. I don't have a degree in, you know, catechesis. But I do know that my faith is my foundation. It is my rock. And all of us have opportunity to share stories about how that can just be our guiding force, how Christ is why we're here, and the love that he created us from is the love he expects us to give back to him and one another. And if every day we can find ways to share that, I think we're doing well. And that's really what I want to do more than anything else.
Your brother is a Catholic priest. He's back in St. Louis, is that right?
He's in rural Missouri in the Jefferson City Diocese. He's in a small town, Tipton, Missouri, and he has a couple of parishes that he is the pastor for, one in Tipton and one in California, Missouri. Very rural, doing God's work. I love what he does and how he does it, and I have such admiration and, speak of inspiration. My brother has kind of been my sounding board to my own faith journey. And I spoke to him repeatedly and a lot about, you know, my thoughts about what I wanted to do and where I felt called to be in serving. And I should also give credit to Father Dennis Grumsey at St. Casimir Church in Canton, who is a dear friend, and we were parishioners there before we moved to St. John's. And then at St. John's, Father Eric has just been wonderful. So including my brother, I've had some just wonderful guidance by priests, that's for sure.
Well, we're really grateful at the Catholic Review to have you on our team. We've gotten terrific response from our readers, and we're looking forward to reading more of your columns.
Thank you, George. I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. It's an honor. And the fact that it can resonate in any way with anyone helps me. And I count on you at the Catholic Review for your editing abilities and your direction, because I may have thoughts and words, but you have a unique skill and ability in how to help share them. So I'm grateful for you for that, for sure.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Mark Viviano. He's the former sports director at WJZ-TV. Mark, thanks so much for being here again on Catholic Review.
My pleasure, George. Thank you so much.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.